Sunday, we would be able to be better prepared. We certainly want to help Brother Dale in this venture. All right, if you'll find Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. What I'm starting tonight, it'll go for 2 or 3 weeks, probably at least one more. Some thoughts about prayer. If you were to look at the title that I have on my notes, if we were to put titles in the bulletin in advance, it would be Some Thoughts About Prayer. Daniel chapter 9. I'm asking the question before I read Daniel 9, why do we pray? Why do we pray? Daniel chapter 9, verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. What is Daniel's motivation in praying? Stated 3 different times, for the Lord's sake. What frequently we pray for is perhaps our church's sake. And we see that in verse 17, the end of the verse, where Daniel asks God's face to shine upon thy sanctuary, his place of worship. So it's not uncommon that we would pray for our church's sake. And another one that we pray for is our family's sake or our nation's sake. And again, these are all common and good prayers. But and we see these even referred to in these 3 verses when we read where he says in verse 19, Lord, hear, forgive, O Lord, and do defer not for thy city and thy people. Thy city, okay, we could liken to our prayers for our nation. Daniel's praying for his city. And so these are common things to pray for. They're not wrong things to pray for. However, all of these things and other things that we pray for, which are necessary, but the foundation of our praying should be for the Lord's sake. And that's what's told to us 3 different times. Verse 17, the end, for the Lord's sake. Verse 18 at the end, for thy great mercies. And then in verse 19 near the end or the middle, it says, for thine own sake. When we get concerned about the glory of God, then we'll begin to see prayers answered. Too many times we're just trying to get out of difficulty, and that's what we're praying for.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
And here Daniel lays out clearly, and I know if you were to study the subject of prayer, which is an exhaustive study, extensive study in the scriptures, you would find this to be an emphasis that is repeated elsewhere.
Yeah.
Now, understand, it's not wrong to pray for our family, our church, our nation, and other such things. Don't walk away from here thinking that I said that, because I'm not.
But I am saying and emphasizing that all of that needs to be built on the foundation that the reason we're even praying for those things is for the glory of God, not just for our own relief or for our own benefit. I find myself in praying at times for somebody that wants to get saved. I find myself saying, Lord, you know how much her husband would appreciate if she got saved. You know, Lord, how much the parents would be pleased if so-and-so got saved. But it isn't for the parents' sake. It isn't for the spouse's sake. It's for the Lord's glory. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul had been given many revelations, many understandings, insights to things of God. And here he tells us something regarding having received those revelations in verse 7. In other words, he got these many blessings from God. You ever get many blessings from God?
Yes, sir.
He got many blessings from God, and he says, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Lest I should begin to feel pretty good about myself. Lest I should begin to think that, well, things are pretty great because of all that I know.
Yes, sir.
Because of all that I've learned. But he says there, lest I should be exalted above the measure of the abundance of the revelations. What happened? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. He calls it the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest he should be exalted above measure. So God allowed this thorn in the flesh in Paul's case so it would keep him humble. It would keep him from getting proud because of all that God was doing and going to do with him. And then he goes on in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times I prayed. Now look, three is not the magic number. There's three. That's four. Three is not the magic number when it comes to praying on something. Paul is simply telling me he did this three different times. And the fact that he says three, there must be some significance in his prayer life that he would look to and say, three times I asked the Lord that this thorn in the flesh would depart. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. Bible students have, what do you call it? They've guessed at. That's exactly what the bottom line is. They guessed at it. But, you know, he had bad eyesight. And that's inferred in some of his letters that he writes. Of course, some Bible students don't believe that he did. But some, you know, feel he had bad eyesight, and the thorn in the flesh could have been his eyesight, that God left his eyesight go so that he would remain more dependent on him, God. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Doesn't matter what it was, he had something.
That's right.
And God says, Paul says, I wanted it to be removed, but God didn't remove it. Yes. As a matter of fact, what God said is in verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Yes, sir.
Then God went on and underlined it with this, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul had a weakness by whatever this thorn was. And God said, I'll give you sufficient grace Because if you want my strength, it's going to have to come through your weakness. Most gladly, Paul said. Wow. I tell you, I have not grown to that point. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. His attitude was absolutely positive, described in the word gladly. And he said, I would rather than what? Rather than it be taken away, rather than it be changed. I would rather glory in my infirmities. Why? Something wrong with Paul's head? No. He said, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Having the power of Christ on himself was more important than for his own infirmities, whatever it was, to be relieved. I've often said, if I were to lose something, I think I would want it to be one of my senses. I think I would want it to be my sight. Because if you can hear, you can interact with other people. You can be in a service and hear. You can listen to the radio, CDs. You can I was going to say watch TV, but you can't do that. You can listen to it, but you see, and so I've often thought, you know, if you could, and then talk. Oh, that would be something to lose. I got a response from the back corner. But you know, you couldn't communicate. Now, if you can see, well, then you could write. But can you imagine how long that would take? Everybody to leave before I was done. And so, but you know, that's just in the land of wishful thinking. But the Apostle Paul lived in that land, not of wishful thinking, but of that kind of condition. And he said, I'd rather have this condition if the power of Christ can rest upon me.
Amen.
In other words, if I were to lose my condition and wouldn't have the power of Christ, you say, well, it's a hypothetical. No, not according to this verse. Because God told him, my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in Paul's weakness. So reverse that. If Paul's strong, then he doesn't need God's strength.
Right.
As long as we think we're in control and on top of something, we just don't depend on God the way we need to.
Yep.
So, all right, now there's 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 9. Having pain, and listen, I don't. And it's therefore hard for me to preach this kind of thing because of those who do live in pain. And I'm not talking an occasional headache, you know. Or, you know, I did too much bending up and down and I did too much. I was working in the hayfield and all that action, you know, and oh man, my back hurts. Yeah, but tomorrow morning it'll be back to normal. Okay. I'm talking about people who live with pain. Or some other physical problem. Maybe it's not pain, but they live with a physical problem. Okay, it may not always hurt, but it is always a physical limitation. I'm conscious of the fact that God has blessed me with health and strength, and I'm thankful for it. But it doesn't change what I'm about to say. I merely say that so you know and you understand my attitude and where I'm coming from. The Apostle Paul lived with this kind of experience. he walked this road. In reading on the subject of prayer that was used in preparing these messages, I read this, and I'm quoting, "When you're hurting or bearing some physical difficulty, there are three possible ways to pray. First, we can pray that God will give us an escape from the pain or the problem. And this is normal. That's how drugstores stay in business, okay? It is normal that we would pray to be able to escape. Or secondly, you can pray that God will give you the strength to endure the pain. And this too is a natural response. If we can't escape the pain or the condition, the problem, and it may not be a physical problem, there are other problems that we pray and ask God to help us to escape from. And when we can't escape it, then we ask God to help us to endure that condition. Or thirdly, we can ask God to enlist the pain or problem, whatever the condition is. We can ask God to enlist it for our good and His glory. Verse 9, Paul says, "I'd rather have my infirmity so that I can have the power of Christ." That was enlisting it for His good.
Amen. That's good.
And that was also for God's glory.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
If we pray to escape the pain or the problem, then we see it as our enemy. If we pray to endure our pain or problem, then we see it as a master. If we pray to enlist our pain or problem, then we see it as our servant. And we use it to our own good and to God's glory. God has promised us, through the example of the Apostle Paul, He promised us that we can find His grace to glory in our infirmities. Now, that's the only place you're going to be able to do that. You cannot do that in your own goodwill.
That's right.
You cannot do that in your own good religiousness. It comes by our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's difficult for most and unimaginable for many. Is this easy? Of course not. But through this, the power of God can be revealed in our lives, seen by others, benefited by ourselves. Easy? No. To the Christian who looks for the easy way, there is no power of God for their lives. Let me repeat that. To the Christian who looks for the easy way, there is no power of God for their lives. The power of God comes when, like the Apostle Paul said, we'll glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Think about this when it comes to the realm of, let's say, witnessing. Telling others about Jesus Christ. Easy? No. But If we depend upon God to help us in spite of our inability, then we can have his power. But if we're looking for an easy way to be able to do it, it won't happen. And that Christian will lament on and on.
Yeah, that's right.
And he'll live in wish city. You know what wish city is, don't you? Boy, I wish I could witness. I wish I could study my Bible. I wish I could teach a class. I wish I could give more. They live in wish city, where it's much better to live in our infirmities. I only have a dollar to give in that offering for Dale. Okay, give the dollar.
That's right.
Give the dollar. Building funds going on. And boy, I wish I could give tens of thousands. Just give the thousand that you can. Okay? But we'd rather have the easy road. And those who live in Wish City are destined to struggle in their Christian life. They'll always struggle because they don't have the power of God. Father in heaven, we need your work in us. I pray that you would
lead me, enable me as I endeavor to share these various thoughts on this matter of prayer. Help us, even now, to go to the back room as men to pray, and for the ladies as they sit here in these pews, gathering in groups of two and three in order to pray and intercede on behalf of others. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.